Hello and welcome to the King Hero IndyCar Podcast with Kirby and Justin. Kirby, how are you?
Doing well, Justin. How about yourself?
Pretty good. How you like those pregnant pauses?
Interesting twist on an old favorite.
It's hard to keep it fresh, Kirby.
You're right. I need to work on that.
Much like that show, Resident Alien, they stopped keeping it fresh.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. Kirk, for the second episode in a row, I am going to start talking about Connor Daly, if you'll forgive me.
You're forgiven. I'll preemptively give you a pardon, just like Gerald Ford.
Okay. Do you understand at all what his sponsor is?
A foundational participant in the blockchain. I guess it makes the blockchain work better for everybody.
And DOT is a currency, a cryptocurrency?
I thought it was the building block in the blockchain.
DOT's also a currency. Yeah, DOT's a currency.
Okay. All right.
And so I saw the initial announcement, and I was like, I have no idea, A, what you just said, and B, what that is, right? And then clearly I was not alone, because then there was a plethora of things coming out, including a video from Connor himself explaining what Polkadot is. And you sent me an article this morning, I think written by Nathan Brown, that explains what Polkadot is. And I'll admit that I just skimmed that one. I didn't read the whole thing because I've got a life. but I got to tell you, after kind of spending more time than I'd like to on it, it just sounded like a bunch of buzzwords put together and then somehow comes up with a pink car.
Doesn't that sum up crypto altogether?
Maybe it's a metaphor, but if he just said, hey, Polkadot's a metaphor for cryptocurrency and the blockchain, that would make more sense to me.
Right. Well, I saw him interviewed today on the Peacock broadcast of the open test, and he spoke confidently as if he knew what he was talking about. So for a moment, I actually admired him as a talented spokesperson for whatever company was supporting him at a given time.
Well, look, I admire him for getting sponsors. He's very good at that. In fact, we were talking last podcast about, being a social media guy might be his calling. You know, going to work for one of these bigger teams and bringing in sponsors might be even better calling for him. It's amazing that way.
That's a good point. You got me there.
Look, nothing against Connor Daly. I think we've been fair with him. We haven't been completely complimentary. That's for sure. But at the same time, hats off to him for getting sponsors, even if I can't even possibly understand what the hell a sponsor does.
Yeah, it's interesting coming from BitNile,
former sponsor. Yeah.
So he's sticking in the that lane, and maybe he's learning with each new sponsor.
Well, I wish he'd get a little bit better about explaining what it is. Like, there was a vote and they voted for him to be in the car. But I keep coming back to, where's the money coming from? That's what I can't find.
Well, it's Bitcoin or some other kind of cryptocurrency.
I doubt Roger Penske's taking Bitcoin.
I don't know. Blockchain made to support other blockchains, it says.
Oh, God. That's all we need.
Blockchain, in turn, is at the heart of most cryptocurrency and is, according to Forbes magazine, a digital ledger that stores data. It is designed to be decentralized and therefore far more secure. And this is the foundation of the next generation of the web. So, for what that means.
Yeah. All right. Well, I was hoping you would be able to enlighten me further. You haven't.
Here it is. In layman's terms, Daly describes it as the powerful core of tomorrow's free and open internet which is called Web3. It's not controlled by big tech. It's where individuals control their own personal information and their own personal data and finances. Yeah. Shake my other leg and it'll play Jingle Bells, right? it's gonna free us from big corporations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Alexa, how are you going to free me from big corporations? Alexa of a very large corporation can't tell me that one. Okay.
From Quizlet.com. Large corporations, corporations with over one.
Okay, that's enough, Alexa. Thank you. Okay. Curb, should I start off with the controversial stuff first?
Sure. Let's jump right in.
Sometimes you save the best for last, but I don't know if I can hold this one back very long.
Okay. I hope I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I suspect you are going to take the other side of this, but Catherine Legg is back in the 500.
Yeah.
And I'm not happy about it. I'm just going to come out and say I am not happy about it. No. I feel like I need to say this every time now because these are the times we live in. I'm not a misogynist. I actually don't have much of a problem with Catherine Legg. I had a lot of respect for her back in the champ car days. I mean, she was brought in way too early and all that kind of thing. But, you know, considering that, she did okay. Mm-hmm. Considering her lack of experience during that time, you and I both witnessed a pretty horrendous wreck she was in at Road America, if I recall. Yeah.
Barrel roll down the backstretch.
Yeah, in the flesh.
Yep.
And so, respect for her and all that, and you know what she's accomplished over the years and all that. But look. After last year, which I thought for sure was the end of her Indy 500 career, where she took out Stefan Wilson, right, with just a bonehead maneuver on her part and literally took him out of the race before the race even began, which, you know, and she was never apologetic enough in my mind for that. And didn't do very well, admittedly, her team was not doing well, but barely made it in the race still.
She was their top qualifier, the only one to avoid the last year shootout.
Okay. She was. So respect and all, but there's at least 33 other drivers that should be in that race and not her. So I'm just going to say that off the bat. She's just lost her job in IMSA. After she destroyed a car in Sebring.
Right.
She didn't, as far as I know, and maybe this is not correct news, but the last I peeked into the practice or whatever you want to call it, open test, she hadn't even qualified for rookie orientation yet, or whatever that was, refresher or whatever. She was still a lap short of that, right? Yeah.
Right.
Couldn't muster two laps over 2:15 or something like that. 2:15, right? And it's not like she's on some terrible team, right? As far as Indy goes.
Dale Coyne, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. So Dale's got good cars at the Speedway in general.
He doesn't quite have Michael Cannon or Craig Hampson anymore. But
I understand, but he's got the setup sheet. Right.
Yeah, sure.
And he's generally, you know, has some decent cars at the Speedway. Yeah. You know, like I said, she's lost her job kind of everywhere she's been lately. And like I said, she just today or yesterday lost her job at Mensa because the only way you can read it is that the owners were really upset. She destroyed a car and yet she's probably going to get in this race and she's going to trundle around at the back at best. And that'll be that. And she's got a cosmetic sponsor and everything else. And I don't know why anybody's bringing her back. And I don't know why Dale Coyne's bringing her back. I I think we do know why Dale Coyne's bringing her back. But, you know, again, this isn't a misogynist rant. This is just like, man, you, of all people, don't belong here this year. What say you, Kurt?
Well, she's far from my first choice. And I did find it humorous that she couldn't complete her refresher in the allotted time today, and she couldn't. And she lost her IMSA job yesterday or something like that. So it was all kind of funny in a strange sort of way. And, you know, it's a result of a confluence of events, primarily Dale Coyne, for whatever reason, not getting things tied up over the offseason in a profitable way for himself and putting himself in this position. I think Honda is supporting her for political reasons and probably helping out a little bit. And Dale Coyne is not in a position to say no. So you kind of find yourself here at this position. Don't have anything against her. As you said, she's been a good driver earlier in her career when she was younger. I think she's not the person for this opportunity at this point in time. But, you know, these things happen in racing, unfortunately, sometimes, and it's happened again here. So hopefully she can not rear-end anybody this year and get through the race safely and have a good 2 weeks of May.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wish, like I said, I really don't have anything against her. I'm sure if she's hearing this, she's not too happy. But I think particularly after last year, like I said, there's just a lot of other people more deserving. I've never liked the whole concept of like, oh, you got to have a woman in there. I have no problem with having a woman there, but I just want the woman to earn it on merit. And I don't think in this case, this is not a situation where a woman's earning it on merit. She's got the job because she's a woman, I think. And to me, I think that's insulting to women. That's the way I look at it, but I guess I'm in the minority on that.
Well, look, there's plenty of men that get rides or get in the 500 for similar circumstances. They don't get in on merit either. They get in because they can bring the sponsorship.
Or daddy's rich.
Well, they bring money. They bring the money.
Look at Lance Stroll in Formula One.
But I mean, yeah, whether it comes from your family or it comes from, you know, your ability to line up sponsors or get a sugar daddy or whatever, it's not uncommon for men to get rides, you know, based on money and not on merit. And so I'm not going to fault her for that either. I mean, I don't disagree with a lot of things you're saying, but I'm not as offended by it as you seem to be.
Disappointed is probably more the term for me. I just there's a lot of guys I'd like to see in that seat, and she's not one of them.
Well, I can agree with that, but again, it's the circumstances that put her there aren't any more offensive than they are with, you know, 20 other drivers over the last 5 or 10 years.
Okay.
I could say the same thing for Steph Wilson. Honestly, I don't quite get the Steph Wilson story, but he finds money every now and then, and he gets in the race every now and then, and it is what it is, right? So.
Okay. Robbie Wickens in another wreck that hospitalizes him, at least for a short time.
Sounds like it was mostly for observation and then caution. Does that seem right?
That was a statement. I think, you know, kind of came out the next day, like, yeah, it's not looking terrible. So.
You race enough races, it's going to happen, right?
It is. What was more kind of more intriguing to me about that whole story was like nobody, at least what I could read, nobody could really tell you what happened, which is kind of unusual.
But I hope he's well, and I hope he gets back in the car soon.
Kerb, I'm going to this would become the Formula One portion of our podcast.
Of our IndyCar podcast?
I know you always look forward to these, but here we are. Random observations from watching the race in Japan.
Okay, I didn't see it.
I did.
Okay. I'm just saying I may have trouble contributing to this section of the show. But
you always have trouble contributing to this section. But, you know, nevertheless, we're going to go into it anyways. Because I do think that, you know, racing, the whole sport of racing is becoming increasingly intertwined with each other. And when Liberty ultimately owns IndyCar, you'll be glad we did this time together.
Okay.
you'll be pleased to know Danny Ricks is not going well at all.
It's always good. Yeah.
He, on the first lap, took out Albon. I mean, literally took him out, made a bad move, and just took him out and himself out of the race. So didn't even get one lap done after again being out qualified by Yuki Tsunoda. So he's had a terrible start to a season. Now people are questioning, you know, his actual ability levels and so forth. Curb, you and I, more you than I, but I think we've all been questioning his ability levels for some time and couldn't understand the value people are putting on him. Well, I think those now the question is starting to become whether he's going to see the year out or not.
Right. Well, he has agents start working on those NASCAR connections, and I'm sure he can rejuvenate himself one more time at least.
I don't think he'd come to IndyCar, do you?
No, I think that would be too tough on his pride.
Yeah, but I'd rather see him in the car than Catherine Legg.
Well, that's a different question, but I think he would go get that cowboy hat out of storage that he wears every year at Austin and go sign up with some NASCAR team and run at the back NASCAR 40 weekends a year.
Yeah.
See how long he enjoys stock car racing.
Probably not very long.
Can you imagine? I mean, I know Juan Montoya did it, but can you imagine a guy like Danny Ricks going from, admittedly, they've been lengthening out that Formula One schedule, but going to run in 35 or more races Sunday after Sunday after Sunday around an oval in a stock car. And I'm against all the race car drivers, but I mean, a guy coming from his background to that would just, I can't imagine him doing it.
Might be too much. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Some of these guys pop in, you know, like Kimi and was it Coulthard?
Jenson Button, I think, did
something. Sorry, not Coulthard, Jenson Button. Yeah. Yeah. Those guys drop in, right? But,
yeah, the occasional road course race.
Yeah, they're not doing it for the season.
You're right.
Fernando Alonso, who's just performing unbelievably well. And by the way, he'll be the first to tell you. there was this article I read where he's like evaluating his performance, and it was a 10 out of 10, 5 stars. You know, it was not self-effacing in any way. But
so did he finish well at Japan?
He did. He had a good race, and you know, I think that car, I mean, he's killing his teammate, the aforementioned Lance Stroll. Yeah, you could argue that he has not even a top four car there, and he's still somehow managing to place, you know, fifth and sixth. So, you know, good on him. He is. I mean, if I'm Mercedes, I'm kind of all over him. If I'm Red Bull, I'm kind of maybe even all over him. I you know,
he's performing well and he's old, and so wouldn't there be some appeal in the sense that you got a driver that seems to be doing very well at the moment, and he's old enough that he can't expect to lock you in forever and make things uncomfortable for you, beyond the first couple of years of you're under contract, wouldn't you think? Or do they not care about being uncomfortable in Formula One? They'll just make decisions no matter what.
I mean, it's a good question, but I mean, if I'm sitting back and just evaluating, yeah, if I had just like a gap for a year or two, or just wanted to fill a gap for a year or two, I am on him in 2 seconds.
Right.
It's hard to argue that he is not performing as well as anybody in Formula One at this point. And I'm including the venerated Max Verstappen in that comment.
Right.
The other, the two other things from a team standpoint that are kind of interesting about Formula One, and then I'll stop because I know I'm killing you with this. Alpine is just horrible. They're like the worst team on the grid, which for factory effort is beyond comprehension.
Are they worse than Williams this year?
So Alpine is at the dead last of the constructors at the moment, behind Kick Sauber, behind Williams, behind Haas.
Wow. Okay. Hey, Formula One nugget. Andretti opened his Silverstone facility today.
Yeah, I saw that. What was that all about?
They're continuing apace in their efforts to join Formula One in a couple years.
I hope somebody writes a book about that because I want to read it when it's over. That's pretty hard to understand right now.
Well, I guess they're trying to prove themselves by continuing on spending money and showing that they're ready whenever Formula One has a change of heart.
Yeah, but whose money? You know, how much of it? I mean, you know what I mean?
It's Dan Taurus and the Guggenheim Foundation. Right?
I guess. I mean, it's just the details that are interesting there, not the on the face of it, what it looks like.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, he's come into some high money friends, and he can see the difference the last couple of years.
All right, let's stop talking about Formula One. You've even got me bored on Formula One now. Let's stop. Kerb, David Balukas, wow, what a horrendous story, right? He might not even drive Long Beach. In fact, it's looking increasingly like that. Hot shoe F2 guy might get the ride.
Right.
He's putting a brave face on it, but let's face it, this is an epic disaster. For him. But I got to tell you, Kerb, I read not too long ago, he wrecked a mountain. We know he wrecked on a mountain bike. The way he wrecked is what just had me flabbergasted.
Well, is there a good way to wreck?
Well, look, as you know, I'm a pretty avid mountain biker.
Sure. Right?
So I do quite a bit of riding. He grabbed the wrong brake. He thought he was grabbing the rear, and he grabbed the front, right?
Right.
And just endoed the thing, right? Now, I got to tell you, that struck me because I'm thinking this guy is a race car driver. And I mean, you just don't make mistakes like that. It's like, oh, I pressed the accelerator instead of the brake, right? And I wrecked. I mean, they don't do that, right?
So I see it every day. Yeah.
What race car driver grabs the wrong brake? I mean, I was just like, wow, holy Moses, that was mind blowing to me.
Well, I was with little Davey until that little tidbit, that point of the story. I did think that was very strange, especially if you have any experience on a bike at all. The only thing I can come up with was maybe he used both brakes. You know, I mean, I don't know if using both brakes at the same time still might put you over the front, depending on, you know, where your weight is and how startled you are by whatever situation you find yourself in. So that's the only bit of excuse making I can throw David's way, but beyond that, yeah, I mean, I can't help but think, you know, he was distracted looking at the sunset or the natural beauty or something like that, right? And maybe he was already pointed downhill or something, I don't know, but that part of it seemed like nobody does that, you know.
I mean, people do it.
Squeezes the left-hand brake instead of the right-hand brake.
I mean, right. People who do it, like, riding on the brake for the first time.
Right.
Or that's the people who do it. You know, people aren't used, but, I mean, wow. Anyways. That
little tidbit was a shocker, and he's certainly paying a big price for that accident.
Yeah,
and,
oh, my God. He's, I don't want to pile on the guy because he seems like a nice guy. And I mean, he is a nice guy, but wow. He is going to have to burn up things once he gets back in that car. He's got nothing.
a lot of these deals are lined up by the time you get to the 500, right? They're already looking ahead and trying to make deals for next year. You know, they got a lot of time sitting around in Indy during the month of May, and I think that a lot of those things happen then or get lined up then. Where does that leave David Maluka? Because you know McLaren's big game hunting. They're not, you know, waiting for the next pay driver to come around. So, you know they're calling Newgarden, or they're calling Lundgaard, or they're calling whatever hotshot might come over from Europe or something, and he's not going to have any time at all hardly to make his case.
We've said it before, but epic disaster for him.
I feel badly for him.
Yeah, me too. Kerb, now we're going back. It seems like thermal just won't stay out of people's consciousness a little bit. And this might be the last I ever mention of it, but we were waiting for what the IndyCar spin was on the television rating. And I think Mark Miles came up with something you and I did not anticipate.
No, but I thought it was brilliant.
I mean, maybe it is. You're right. Maybe it is. I mean, that was the most extraordinary. It's 800. What was it? 800,000 extra people.
That's right. Because this was not one of their normal 17 points paying races. Therefore, he looks at it as just, hey, an extra 800,000 people watched our series and were exposed to our series. 800,000 more than we would have had otherwise.
Right. On network television. And somehow, I mean, what a spin. That's all I can say to that.
Well, the alternative was to not race anywhere on that weekend or any of the other five weekends between St. Petersburg and Long Beach. Or, spend a couple of days testing, throw this event on the back end of the testing. You're already there anyway, so it's no harm, no foul to anybody. And expose yourself to 800,000 extra viewers for the season.
I wonder if NBC sees it that way.
No. As the story goes, NBC is the one that says, hey, we got the window here. And I don't know. But, we talked last time. I said, I hope that IndyCar owns it and doesn't take any shit off anybody for it. And, last week you were talking about a Mark Miles interview with Bruce Martin. This week, Bruce Martin interviewed Bud Denker. And I think he took that approach. He said, here's why we went there. Here's what we learned. Here's what we didn't learn. We'll try to do better if we come back again. He was all positive. No cringing or saying I'm sorry or anything like that. And I respected it.
Yeah. I'd like to take a second to thank our growing legion of Canadian and New Zealand fans. A lot of new input from those areas of the world, and I just want to thank that, Kerb. I just want to take a moment to thank for that.
Well, I don't know the numbers, but I'll trust your word that we're picking up some listeners from there, and that's very gratifying. And happy to have them join us.
Apparently, Snark plays well north of the border and
down under.
And then that place that Australia is an island off the coast of.
You have a connection down under. Maybe that's been part of that growing contingent.
Could be. Kerb, anything you want to get to before we start getting to Long Beach?
I mean, did you watch any of the open tests today?
I didn't. Okay. I mean, I watched very little. I watched Catherine Legg fail to make it through her reorientation program.
One thing I thought was dead on for IndyCar is they went over the new rule banning the dragon going below the entry line to the pits, coming onto the front stretch. Yep. And in true IndyCar fashion, they announced the new rule, but they didn't announce the definition of the rule or what the punishment would be. And so even as we sit here at the open test in April, they still don't know whether it's two wheels under or four wheels under or what penalty you're going to receive if you do violate whatever rule they end up making. So, it's just one of the aggravating aspects of following IndyCar these days is they just always seem like they're making it up as they go along. Seems like if you announce a rule, you would announce the rule, wouldn't you?
Well, I think you kind of hit it on the head. They make it up as they go along.
So, and then I guess the other bit of interesting news is Prima Racing has announced their entry into the 2025 IndyCar field. Already got their Chevrolet engines lined up, so now it's looking at as many as 29 full-time cars. What do you think about that?
I guess my only comment about that is I'm wondering if that's a precursor for somebody going out, one of these teams.
Well,
not next year, right? But I'm talking a little longer term. So in other words, you're Chevy. You've been sitting there, struggling with, let's just choose Foyt, for example,
right,
for all these years, right? And Prima comes in, obviously a pedigree on that team, probably some high expectations of how that, but let's just say Prima comes in and starts kicking ass and taking names, right? Now, I don't think that's any guarantee because, certainly Carlin didn't do that, right? And it's kind of the same thing, team with pretty good pedigree over there that came over.
I don't know if Carlin was cocky or didn't take it seriously, but yeah, anyway, go ahead.
Whatever. My point is it didn't work, right? And so, there's no guarantee that Prima's going to come over here and, kick ass and take names because, we've kind of seen this show before and it actually didn't work out that well. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, they do. At some point, when does Chevy say, wow, yeah, we like these guys, Foyt. I'm picking on Foyt here because it's just more of the obvious notion, but, fill in the blank with whoever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't need to give those guys two engines anymore.
Well, look, if anybody, there's no way Honda was picking up any new customers next year, right? I mean, they're already at like 18, I think, something like that. So it had to come from Chevy if it was going to come. IndyCar apparently welcomed Prima with open arms, and IndyCar's got a pretty good connection with Chevy, and Chevy's not as burdened as Honda is. But, I think IndyCar wants these teams to come in because you've got this aging ownership group, and so it's probably a positive for IndyCar and their future to make sure you get some new blood coming in. I think it'll be interesting to see what it does to silly season too. Maybe provides comfort to the a guy like David Malukas that maybe there'll be other opportunity out there for him. And if they are going for a veteran IndyCar driver to pair with a rookie type, then
Jack Harvey.
I'm thinking they're more serious than that, but but again, it might just stoke up the competition for drivers a little bit.
Do you think that's the one IndyCar driver who called they to get the phone number of them?
Probably might have been. Yes, that's probably him or Davey, little Davey, one or the other.
So. Or Devlin Dave Francesco. Kerb, let's get on to Long Beach, shall we? Time stamping this, it's the April 10th. We don't have any odds on anybody yet, so that's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So I think we'll just do our picks, but any general comments you would like to say about Long Beach going in this year? I mean, again, basically a new car and new tires, so what was true last year won't necessarily be true this year.
I would think Andretti would still be strong. The usual suspects would still be strong, so I don't think that should be too big a problem. What about you?
Well, Andretti has been strong there, but I'm going to take exception with you, Kerb, even though I'm probably, leading the witness here a little bit. But, Andretti has been strong traditionally at St. Pete, right? And they weren't particularly strong this year. And like I said, there was kind of a new tire situation, the new way of the car and the new tire situation could have very well thrown them off. So I don't know if you can sit there and say, definitively or even, with a good hunch that, the same thing's not going to happen to them in Long Beach. Because like I said, they were really good at St. Pete in the past and they weren't particularly good this year.
Well, I don't think they were awful. I think that Herta started fourth, finished fifth. Rosenquist, Andretti adjacent team, started second, finished seventh. They weren't world beaters, but they weren't awful either. I just think they'll be strong, but you know, Penske will be strong. They've done well at Long Beach before. I think it's still like it's a usual suspects kind of race, and don't see much changing there.
All right, well, let's shut up and do picks.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and jump in with Newgarden.
Sound choice was my first choice as well. I was not too high on Newgarden before this year started, and you know it's early days, but I'm starting to like more the cut of his jib this year.
The new Zen Newgarden is appealing to you.
Yes. Yeah. I think maybe he's doing what he needed to do. Leaves me a bit conflicted, but I'm going to go with Alex Palou.
Well, that's as safe as safe picks go, so can't fault you there. Now the question is, how brave am I after talking up Andretti? Do I really want to pick an Andretti driver? I'm going to say no, I'm not. I'm going to go with Will Power.
Oh, Will Power. Interesting. Not a bad bet at Long Beach.
I think he, too, has achieved a state of zen this year. Reachieved it, I guess.
I agree. He could be a lurker in this whole thing before it's all over with. He could be a lurker. Oh, boy. Scotty M. I like Penske this year.
All right, I'm going to be a little more brave on this one, and I'm going to go with Kirkwood, defending champion from the pole.
Wow, that is brave. Despite the fact that he is defending the champion from the pole, I'm going to go with my theory that this new tire / chassis weight difference is still going to baffle Andretti. So I'm going to let you do that, and I'm going to pick up Pato O'Ward. There you go, our top six. We left some big names out of there. We left Colton Herta for one. We left Scott Dixon out of there, if you can believe that. We left Fro out of there.
Fro, yes, that's his new official name, Fro.
Yeah. We left Alexander Rossi out of there.
Erickson.
We left Erickson out of there.
Perpetually forgotten Erickson.
And the guy we're going to mention more often, Marcus Armstrong, we left out of there. A lot of names left out. Christian Lundgaard left out of that. And so it seems this year, Kerb, do you have the feeling like the field's kind of opened up a little bit, right? Like there's like the top 10 seemed very locked out last year, but this year it seems like there's some more names that could find their way in there.
You want to feel that way, but then again, you look at the top 10 from St. Petersburg and Reiner's VK in 10th. I mean, that's as crazy as it got. So.
Well, Fro.
Okay, Fro in 7th. Okay. That's as crazy as it got, and that's not that crazy.
Kirby, anything else before we wind this up? Fall asleep.
Well, you shouldn't go out drinking before the show.
you're right.
Hope everybody enjoys Long Beach and the... Is Barber a week after Long Beach? Are we actually going to go 2 weekends in a row with a race?
I think it could be, yeah.
So, wake up, everybody. Don't go back into hibernation after Long Beach is over. Enjoy a couple of fun races every year on the calendar. And I hope you have a good weekend, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks to wrap up Long Beach and preview Barber, right?
With any luck, but let's face it, the other meaningful event of the Long Beach weekend, Curb, is you will be giving away yet another daughter to marriage.
Well, we don't want to face that quite yet, so let's leave that one out. But yeah, it should be a big weekend. The good news is that they'll be leaving for their honeymoon Sunday morning, so we'll have plenty of time Sunday afternoon to enjoy the race.
Sure, she sees it that way. Well, early congratulations to young, what used to be young Emma, and look forward to seeing her off in a new in her new married life.
A big night, should be fun for everybody, and look forward to it. Do we have still have an X handle?
Yes, we do. It is at Hero IndyCar, at HIRO IndyCar.
All right. Well, thanks for suffering through this with us, everybody, and look forward to talking to you after Long Beach.
Yep. Good night.